9 o'clock at night, on one of the lower levels of the western approach to the mile-high Los Petrol somewhere in Venezuela, South America. Since Jack and Doc joined Jeremiah, the little hermit of San Felipe Atabapo, to perform the duty required of them, they have passed through the ironwood forest, crossed over the Rainbow Bridge, a span 10 feet wide and 4 miles long. They have spent a night at the monastery of the San Felipe monks, and have traveled through the cavern of the Lost River of Bonchichiro and past the boiling underground lava lake of a sleeping volcano. This brought them out on a stone ledge with a great crevasse lying below them and a 1,000-foot perpendicular wall above them. From this upper wall hung a net-like spider web of rope, up which the old hermit and the two boys climbed to a tableland rich and fertile and seemingly inhabited by wildlife of some ancient world. It was the beginning of the land of prehistoric animal life, Jeremiah informed them. That was this morning. All day they traveled across a friendly prairie land until darkness, when Jeremiah built a fire, and then went into the bushes and presently returned with the freshly killed carcass of a small animal, which looked like a cross between a possum and a kangaroo. Cooked over the campfire, the meat was white and tender and succulent. And now, having eaten, the boys are relaxed in front of the embers of the fire.
Oh, boy. After what we've been through today, I could just lay my head back in and sleep like a baby.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't, my boys. That's what night's for. Besides, you boys have done right well. Better than most by a long way.
Oh, have
we? Yep, acted as though you'd been doing this sort of thing all your life.
Well, we have for a lot of years now.
I understand there's quite a war going on in the outside world right now.
Oh, amen, brother, amen.
I don't go much for wars myself. Bit of an Irishman, I admit, but I can't stomach jabbing another man in the middle with a bayonet. Especially somebody I never laid my eyes on before.
I don't feel that way. Me and Jack fought Japs over in China 4 or 5 years ago with the Chinese army. Brother, let me tell you, there ain't much anything I wouldn't do to one of them babies after some of the things I've seen.
Well, then why aren't you out there fighting them?
Jack will have to answer that.
Don't answer if you don't want to, Jack.
It isn't a matter of wanting to, just that we've been retained by a special branch of the United States government to do certain jobs for them. They figure we're doing more good where we are.
But here you are at the end of the world out in South America.
Well, for all you know, that's maybe our latest government assignment.
Oh, you don't tell me. Well, now, how about bed? I could do with a mite of sleep myself.
Say, Jeremiah, tell me something.
Well, whenever you start out that way, you make me think maybe I can't answer you. But go ahead, Jack, go ahead.
This 1,000-foot level plateau we're on now, the animals on it are distinctly of some ancient period in history.
That's right. Yes, sir, no doubt.
Yet they're not anything like the animals we saw up on the Great Plateau itself.
True, true.
Well, I've been wondering if there's any design to this. I mean, in different places, we seem to find a different period in the history of animal life. And the same thing applies to human life. This afternoon, while we were climbing that spider web up the face of the cliff, we looked across and saw the cliff dwellers. Last time we were up here, we saw the ape man. And in another place, we saw signs of a more advanced man. What I want to know is, what's the meaning of all this up here?
Well, now you've really asked something. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of man? My son, I don't know the answer to the meaning of all this up here.
Yes, but you seem so familiar. I mean, you must know a great deal. You must know pretty generally why Doc and I are here.
Well, as to that, I may and I may not. But to get back to your original question about the animals... You ask if perhaps there's not some design. Well, I think I can answer that for you.
Well, go ahead.
Hey, before you go into that, answer me something.
Well?
When are we going to see that baby Uganda again?
That I do not know. But as for the life on this plateau, I can tell you this much. The higher intelligence has taken it upon itself to perpetuate and keep to itself plant, animal, and human life in its various forms down through the history of the world.
You mean there is actually living every stage of man's development from the beginning of the human being?
Aye, and the same with animal life and plant life. The tableland we've crossed today represents a definite period in the history of the world.
Well, we've seen strange animals and plants, but nothing of human life.
Somewhere on this plateau is man in some stage of his development. And if I'm not mistaken, man was a very meager creature in this particular era.
Well, you don't know what period we're in.
No, I do not. But I must tell you that this whole great plateau is one vast museum of natural history. It's being kept for a complete record of the world when all men shall be ready to receive such information.
The higher intelligence doesn't think we're ready yet?
Well, now, does it seem likely with the world outside spending every bit of its time and effort and wealth and intelligence in finding new and more gruesome ways of destroying each other?
Yeah, I get your point.
But do you think the world's ever going to be any better than it is now?
I can't say it to that. But either it'll grow better or it'll finally destroy us completely.
And then what?
Well, when the last two civilized people out there in your precious world have finally clawed each other to death...
Which we may do.
True. In which case, the higher intelligence will probably restock the world with some of their finer specimens of mankind and start a newer and better breed of human beings.
Very interesting. In other words, this lost plateau may be the place from which a new race of mankind will germinate sometime in the future.
All right, as it has done in the past.
What's this?
Well, how do you suppose the world was repopulated after the great continent of Atlantis sank beneath the ocean? Who do you suppose gave human life a new start after the continent of Mu was obliterated? Who gave man a new start when the great flood mentioned in the Bible swept human life from the earth?
You mean each time the high intelligence up here on this lost plateau planted new humans on the earth?
The seed of man, like the seed of any cultivated crop, grows weak and puny and sterile in time and must be renewed from somewhere.
Jeremiah, just who are these folks in the high place?
I have never seen them.
Was that emissary come to see us in Hollywood, one of them?
Well, I should judge from what you say that he might be some very unimportant wise man on the outer fringe of the high place.
No, just sort of an office boy, you might say, huh?
You might as that.
Hey, Jeremiah,
huh?
Look out there on the prairie.
Hey, there's somebody in a white robe. They're coming this way.
And praise be, now what?
You know who it is?
Why, it's that meek of a girl, Uganda.
Why, sure, it's Uganda. Hi, honey. Where the heck you come from and where you been at?
Jeremiah! Oh, you must help me. You must.
Now, look here, Uganda.
No. You must help me. There is no time to argue.
Well, of course we'll help you, Uganda. What you want us to do?
Come, please, all of you. I will show you the place.
Now, just a minute, Uganda. I have a definite
order. No, Jeremiah. You must come with me. You must. I ask you to. I beg you to.
You don't have to beg me.
Hey, Doc, will you keep out of this?
Oh, if I want to help you, Uganda...
This is between Uganda and Jeremiah. Let them talk.
But you haven't told us what it is you want, Uganda.
It was most terrible. There was a great clatter and a great noise in the air, and I looked up, and there was such a bird in the sky as I have never seen before.
Airplane?
Airplane. No such things are allowed over the great plateau.
What happened?
Well, while I was watching, a great pteranodon came up out of the woods, and it attacked this strange bird.
Well, what in the heck is a pteranodon?
A giant flying reptile.
Yes, and they came together up there, and there seemed to be a great splintering of wood and fire in the sky, and then... something dropped from the strange bird, and presently a great white cloud appeared. It was like a beautiful white flower suddenly blooming in the sky.
A parachute?
And hanging from this flower was a man. And when he came down to the earth, he was fair and beautiful, and he was hurt. So I gathered him up in my arms, and I hid him away.
Oh, but you can't do that, Uganda. You know you can't do that.
But I have done it.
You mean you picked up a full-grown man and carried him?
I could not take him far, but I have hidden him where he will not be found. And now, please, you must come with me and help me keep him alive.
That is forbidden.
Just a minute, Jeremiah. From what Uganda says, it sounds to me like this might be a flyer from my own country. If he's hurt, we ought to do what we can for him.
He was not supposed to be over the Great Plateau. Having been brought to Earth now, he must be turned over to those in the high place.
No! He is mine! I found him!
Oh, the high ones are quite right, Uganda. You're a young spirit, a headstrong soul. You have many lives to live before you'll be trusted.
He is young! He is handsome! He is mine!
What harm can there be in offering him help? If for some reason he must be turned over to some authority later, why can't it be done then?
Yeah, what are we standing here arguing for now?
Jeremiah! For me, please!
Oh, please take me for an old fool. How far is this place?
Oh, it is not far at all. Over there to the lake where you hear the frogs. Come, please. I show you.
Well, I'll walk ahead of you, honey.
Yes, please, but we must hurry.
Oh, the fire that a woman can make trouble.
Oh, don't take it so big, Jeremiah.
Oh, well, upset and everything. No wonder I've never been allowed to live on the high plains. Always led around with the nose. The hermit of San Felipe Atabapo I am. And the hermit of San Felipe Atabapo I'll always be.
Well, offhand, I wouldn't say you've had such a hard life of it. Well, I didn't realize there was a lake this close to our camp.
Hidden by that rim of bushes.
Hey, Jack, come here quick.
Well, what's the matter? Where's Uganda?
Jack, she said, to take off your clothes and follow me. There'll be other clothes for you down below. And then she dropped off this here white robe and dived right straight down into that lake.
She did what?
Yeah, look, here's her robe to prove it. She's been gone 2-3 minutes now. She must have gone somewhere.
Here, Jeremiah, what are you doing?
Just roving. Are you going to dive into the lake?
Yeah, you guys were the ones who were so keen on Solomon Uganda. Well, all right, now strip off and let's follow her.
Honest to my grandma. Okay, I'm game if you are, son. Here go my shoes.
What are we supposed to expect at the bottom of this lake?
Well, there must be some place fit for human habitation down there.
On the bottom of a lake? Sounds like a hangout for a school of mermaids.
Now, just where did she die from, Doc?
Right where you're standing at, almost exactly.
Very well. Follow me down.
Well, if Uganda and Jeremiah can dive in a pitch black lake in the middle of the night, son, what are we waiting for?
Somebody tell me about this before.
Tell you about what, Mary?
About oxidol. Look how beautifully white my clothes are. And I didn't risk bleaching them to get them this white either.
Mary, don't tell me you're just now discovering how white oxidol can wash your clothes. Why, I could have told you that long ago.
Why didn't somebody tell me about this before? Well, you'll probably ask the same question after you see how oxidol washes white without bleaching. You see, oxidol's Hustle Bubble Suds are so lively, so energetic, they lift dirt out. That's why clothes come clean without hard rubbing. Why sheets, towels, shirts, all your white pieces except for some unusual stains, come white without bleaching. Sparkling white. And oxidol is genuinely safe for colored washables and rayons, too. Oxidol gets those reds and blues and yellows so clean they really sparkle. So get oxidol in the orange and blue bullseye package. Next wash day, enjoy a wash that's white without bleaching.
Materials that go into soap go into making ammunition. Whenever you use soap, remember that. Use no more suds or lather than you really need. Don't waste soap. Listen again tomorrow night for the further adventures of Jack Packard and Doc Long in The Hermit of San Felipe Atabapo, presented by
Oxidol, the soap that gets clothes white without bleaching.
And Ivory Soap, 99 and 44 100% sure.